In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation today on this wonderful feast day of St. Mark. What a beautiful day it is. And as always, we like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many wonderful titles. Mary is the Mother of God, her greatest title. Mary is also the Mother of the Church. And also Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. So as we enter into our family conversation, let us invite Mary to be with us. And let's start off by praying the prayer that Mary loves most. That prayer is the Hail Mary, also known as the Angelic Salutation. So together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite to be with us our spiritual director. Our spiritual director. What a privilege it is for all of us to have as our spiritual director the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many wonderful titles. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. He's also known in the sequence that we pray in Pentecost. He's also known as the sweet guest of our soul. He's also known as our consoler. Consoler as well as our counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as the sanctifier. In our pursuit of holiness, the Holy Spirit is essential. And if that were not sufficient, St. Paul in his letter to the Romans specifies the fact that the Holy Spirit is the interior master. What do we mean by that? Well, St. Paul says in chapter 8 to the Romans that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to come to be with us to give a lot of light. A lot of light in our intellect and the fire of divine love to burn within our hearts. As we pray the classical prayer to the Holy Spirit together. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Well, Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Mark, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. How true, my friends, the family that prays together stays together. And a world at prayer is a world at peace. So, my friends, after praying with you, I promise that I will also pray for you. And I'll pray for you in the greatest of all prayers. And that prayer is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the prayer par excellence. So, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, first intention, I'd like to pray that all of us would be open to the workings of the Holy Spirit. That's right, we would be open to the workings of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps this can be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention, I'd like to pray for all of our family members, for the conversion, sanctification, and salvation I'd like to pray also for Bridges' friend Nancy Tsai, who passed away April 7th from cancer. We'll pray for Nancy. I'd like to place her on the altar in the Mass that I'll be celebrating this evening. Our condolences and our prayers for our loved ones that passed away, for Brian Rodriguez also. Many of us have many intentions. And of course, the other intention I'd like to mention, as always, is I'd like to pray in a special way, my friends, for the dying, those will be dying sometime today. You know, the moment of death is very, very critical. I'm trying to, giving several talks on divine mercy, to pray the chaplet of divine mercy when someone is dying. Hopefully, all of you in our Perseverance family conversation, well, someone is dying, pray the chaplet of divine mercy and try to bring a priest so that this person can receive the last sacraments. So those are intentions. Let's also pray for ourselves that we would have the grace of a holy and happy death. So given that we're celebrating the feast day of St. Mark, I'd like to just make a brief recap in our reflection on the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and then we'll enter into the feast day we celebrate today. We celebrate St. Mark. What we've been doing over the past couple of days is we're expressing various ways in which we can live out the commandments, but most specifically, the first commandment, which is the foundation for all the other commandments. I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other God before you. Last couple of days, I've been touching upon numbers and a couple of numbers in which we can really live out the first commandment. And it's the call to adoration. We're called to adore God. Never tire of reminding us of principle and foundation. St. Ignatius reminds us that we are created to praise God, which really means to adore God, to reverence God, to serve God. By means of that, to save our souls. When we talk about adoration, also the greatest prayer in which we can adore God is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, by far. And when we arrive at the latter part of the Mass called the doxology, which means praise, and the priest lifts up the paten and the chalice, which we have the consecrated host and the consecrated precious blood of Christ. We say, through him, with him, and in him. So we're praising God the Father by offering God the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we want to praise God in the most sublime, exalted fashion. In this life, it would be by going to Mass, by participating fully, actively, consciously in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Nothing greater. And once we get to heaven, we'll be loving but also adoring and praising God for all eternity. We might even ask for the intercession of the angels, especially the cherubim and the seraphim, to help us to praise, to adore, to glorify God in this life, as well as in heaven for all eternity. Then, yesterday, following up on the Catechism, we read through and we explained another way in which we can pray, we can live out the first commandment, and that's through prayer. through prayer. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, quoting St. John Damascene, says that prayer is the lifting up of the mind and the heart to God. Isn't that a great definition? That's St. John Damascene. Prayer is the lifting up of the mind and the heart to God. When in teaching catechism, get the children, the parents to you, that hand gesture, prayer, is the lifting up of the mind and the heart to God. Prayer is the lifting up of the mind and heart to God. And I've coined a one-liner that I think you'll like, related to prayer. In prayer, what air is to the lungs, so prayer is to the soul. I think you'll like that. What air is to the lungs, so prayer is to the soul. Many people died because of the coronavirus because they're not able to inhale and exhale. We're not able to breathe. So it is in our spiritual life. If we don't find ourselves praying, talking to God, then our spiritual lungs, they start to wither and to dry up and to die. There we have it. So let's live out the first commandment. Let's try in our lives to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength by cultivating adoration in our lives, but also by striving on a daily basis to grow in our prayer life. To grow in our prayer life. So there's, my friends, is our catechetical reflection for today. So let's move into the liturgy. What is the Catholic Church? Who does the Catholic Church celebrate today? Today we celebrate Saint Mark. Evangelist of the first century Palestine. There's much that we have to say about St. Mark, so we'll try to be as concise and clear as possible. But off the bat, once you hear the word Mark, hopefully what triggers up in your mind are four names. And that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's right. You hear the word St. Mark, hopefully what triggers up in your mind is St. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the four evangelists. When we say the word evangelist, we're calling to mind the Gospels. And the word Gospel actually means good news. The church liturgical cycle has year A, B, and C, We happen to be, year A is the Gospel of Matthew, year C is Luke, year B, which is this year, is the Gospel of St. Mark. Gospel that we're reading on Sundays, the Gospel of St. Mark. So obviously today, as we move into the giving somewhat of a biographical sketch of this great saint, and we'll give you the content, we'll try to give you a summary of the content of the writings of St. Mark and who he wrote for. We should all be begging for this grace We should be begging for this grace to have a real love for the Bible, which is truly the Word of God. But as the Catechism of the Catholic Church points out, the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible has both Old Testament and New Testament. Catholic Bible has 73 books in total, 46 books in the Old Testament and 27 books in the New Testament. But the very heart of the Bible, Catechism points out, the very heart of the Bible and the purpose of the Bible is to get to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's right. Very heart of the Bible is the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's all directing us toward the climax, the high point, the culmination, is the person of Jesus Christ. That's why St. Ignatius says we should beg for intimate knowledge of Jesus, that we love him more ardently and we follow him more closely. And gospel means good news. So let's get to know the person of St. Mark, and then let's talk about his literary content. We'll talk about the second gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Saint Mark was not one of the first apostles. His name is John Mark. We have the name of his mother. His mother's name is Mary. Mark was a Jew. And this is of great importance, that the mother of St. Mark was a very important figure in the early Christian community. And according to tradition, the home of Mark's mother, who seemed to have been a widow losing her husband, their home was a principal place for the early Christian community. When I say that, I refer to this. Where is it that Jesus celebrated the Last Supper, which would be the first Mass? According to a long-standing tradition, it was actually in the home of Saint Mark and his mother. We call this the cenacle. That's why we call this the cenacle. So very important. Where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ celebrated the Last Supper, which was the first Mass, was in the cenacle, the home of Saint Mark, Saint Mark's mother. This also would be the place where Jesus institutes the sacrament of confession. We call this also the upper room, where the apostles were together at Easter Sunday night for fear of the Jews, and Jesus walks through the wall and says, Shalom, peace be with you. Then he breathes on them the Holy Spirit and says, whose sin you forgive, that shall be forgiven, and whose sins you bind, they will be held bound. Then, if that were not enough, we have the first powerful novena, which culminates on Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. That also took place in the cenacle, also known as the upper room. And it's actually spelled, Bob, it'd be spelled with a C, cenacle, also known as the upper room, where we have the Last Supper, the first Mass. We have the institution of the sacrament of reconciliation. Then we have the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Very, very important events in the historical, ecclesiastical formation of the church. So, Saint Mark, Saint Mark is the one of the four evangelists. Now, I'd like to tell you an event in his life that's of great importance. Saint Mark, my friends, was also a cousin, he's a cousin of Saint Barnabas. Over the past couple of days, we've been speaking about St. Barnabas. Yesterday, we had the prophets and the teachers in Jerusalem. They're praying and they're fasting. The Holy Spirit says, set aside Barnabas and Saul to be sent on mission. So Barnabas is actually the cousin of Saint Mark. This is what happened. Saul goes off on mission, his first missionary journey. And apparently, they encounter some real serious problems on the missionary journey, specifically in Cyprus. And Mark decided to leave Paul and return to Jerusalem. And as a result of that, Paul was not a happy camper. Paul was not happy at all, because he was abandoned by Mark. So, Paul was really hurt by Mark abandoning this mission. Possibly for fear, we don't really know why, but Mark abandoned Paul. So the next missionary journey, Barnabas wants to go with Paul, and he wants to take with him John Mark. But Paul violently opposes that Mark accompany him on his second journey. Barnabas insists that Mark come along. Paul said he's not going to come along. He abandoned us. So they had a very heated argument, Paul and Barnabas. And consequently, Paul and Barnabas, they actually separated. They went their own way. Paul continued in his missionary journey, but he takes another companion. And the name of this companion is a man, his name is Silas. So on the second journey, Paul will choose another traveling companion, Silas. Which is interesting that even among the greatest of saints, sometimes there are differences. Later on, Paul will reconcile with Mark. And when Paul is in Rome, he says, please, send my son, John Mark, to be with me. He can be of great help to me. Now, this was providential because God had another design for Mark and where and what he was going to do. What's going to happen now is this. Peter, the prince of the apostles, will take Mark as one of his companions. And Mark would be listening very attentively to the preaching and teaching of St. Peter. So St. Mark actually, interesting how God works. St. Mark will actually become the translator as well as the secretary of St. Peter. Very interesting that we know that. That's right. He'll be the translator as well as the secretary of St. Peter. So, that means in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospel of St. Mark would be the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Written by St. Mark, but expressed through the words of St. Peter. And of course, Peter, James, and John were the three best friends of Jesus, and Peter, with John, were the closest to Jesus. And what Mary, Joe, has, so he writes, with first-hand knowledge from Peter, that's right. So God allowed this rift to happen so that Mark would move in the direction of St. Peter, and he would be his secretary. Very interesting how God works. Few other details of St. Mark, then we'll just go briefly into the literary content and style of St. Mark. St. Mark will become a bishop. He's going to be sent by the Holy Spirit to the leading intellectual cultural center in Egypt. That will be the city of Alexandria in Egypt. And like the other apostles, except for St. John, St. Mark will seal his life by dying as a martyr, shedding his blood for Christ. Another important historical note would be the remains, the body of St. Mark were actually transferred to Italy, to the northern city of Venice. So we have the famous Ch- Church of St. Mark in Venice, Italy, where we have the remains of the great evangelist St. Mark. And his feast day is April 25th every year. Now, let's speak briefly about the literary content of the Gospel of St. Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospel was directed to both Jews as well as pagans. The Gospel of St. Mark is the shortest of all the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew has 28 chapters. Luke has 24 chapters. John has 21 chapters. And Mark has only 16 chapters. So it's almost half the length of the Gospel of St. Matthew, which is 28 chapters. And this is the Gospel that is recounted by St. Peter. He shows Jesus as the suffering Son of God. Mark knew that to accept the risen Jesus, we're celebrating the Paschal mystery, the Easter season now. To accept the risen Jesus means to come to terms with the cross. This is called the Paschal mystery. Jesus was glorified because he willingly allowed himself to suffer death for our salvation. And Mark points out that anyone who wants to follow Christ, anyone who wants to be a follower of Christ, must be willing to carry his cross. Jesus says, unless you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. So Mark wrote to proclaim the good news to a community of both Jewish and Gentile Christians. His gospel is very direct and very simple to read. And he speaks to Christians about Jesus who understands their difficulties and sufferings. And one day bring them to share with him eternal joy and glory. Some have said that it's almost as if he seems to be a journalist. He does not spend a lot of time on longer discourses of Jesus that you have, for example, in St. John. Last week we finished John chapter 6, where we have what is called the Bread of Life discourse, where Jesus gives a long, beautiful discourse. But we see Jesus in the Gospel of St. Mark moving from one place to another, moving at a very quick pace. G.K. Chesterton says that Jesus was like a lightning bolt. Jesus was like a lightning bolt moving from one place to the next. And some say that he was a pioneer of gospel writing because apparently this was the first of the gospels to be written. So his style is simple and direct, easy to understand. He moves from one event in the life of Christ to another. He's writing for the Christians as well as the Jews, the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And some of you probably know that the evangelists have symbols. Probably many of you know that when you see St. John the Evangelist, you see the eagle. And the reason for the eagle is because St. John's thoughts are very mystical. They soar high in the spiritual atmosphere. But Saint Mark has the symbol of a lion with wings. Some of you are probably thinking, why does the Gospel of Saint Mark have a symbol, a lion with wings? And it's because his Gospel, this is the Gospel of Saint Mark, begins with the story of John the Baptist. Who, like a roaring lion, called people to repent. I repeat. The reason why Mark's symbol is a winged lion is because his gospel begins with the story of John the Baptist, who's like a roaring lion, calls people to repent. My friends, this is the prayer that the Church offers in honor of St. Mark for the offertories. As we venerate the glory of St. Mark, we offer you, Lord, the sacrifice of praise and humbly beseech you that your Church may always persevere in the preaching of the gospel through Christ our Lord. Amen. So, my friends, we've learned a lot today. And I'd like to invite all of you to share this good news in our Perseverance family. Share this good news that we've learned today to the whole world. And let's pray that all of us will have a growing interest, love, and desire to read and meditate more fully upon the Bible, but most especially upon the very heart of the Bible, and that would be the Gospels. Now, my friends, I'd like to bless all of you with my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Mark Evangelist, pray for all of us, that we would have a greater love for God's Word, the Word of God. Amen.